Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and earned a BS in finance from Portland State University. From 14 to 30 years old, his life was, by his own admission, a series of train wrecks. In 2012, he founded St. Paul Street Evangelization, which is a grassroots, non-confrontational organization dedicated to responding to the mandate of Jesus to preach the gospel to all nations by taking the faith to the streets. His name? Steve Dawson. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Steve Dawson, who in 2012 founded St. Paul Street Evangelization. Steve, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's a great honor to be on your show. I love it. I've listened to you many times, and it's if you asked me 15 years ago if you thought I'd ever be on the radio sharing about my faith journey or anything about myself on the radio, I would have told you you're crazy. So it's awesome to be here, Jack.
Can you lead us in an opening prayer?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And we praise you, first of all, for the gift of life and for all the many blessings that you've given to each and every one of us, the gift of the freedoms we have in this country, the gift of food on our plates, and the gift of families and friendships. Lord, we just ask you to provide for those who may want in any of these areas throughout the world. If they don't have freedom, Lord, bring them freedom, if not many other blessings, and also any other blessings. If there are people out there in the world who don't have food, we just ask you to give them food, Lord. Just fill them with the food and the everlasting food of your everlasting life. And we just, Lord, we just thank you for everything that you do for us. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Steve, by your own admission, from age 14 to 30, your life was a series of train wrecks. Tell us about your life in those 16 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was raised in a home that religion was not spoken of. When I grew up, my mom was a Christian, baptized Catholic, actually, and she was very, by the time she met my father, she had fallen away from the faith. And my dad was raised with no religion at all, no God in his family. So by the time they got married, they didn't bring us really any religious education. We didn't talk about God in the house or anything like that. And so I grew up just kind of thinking that life was all about having fun. You know, my father is an attorney. We had many possessions, and so I used those to try to fulfill my pleasures, and you know, nothing really fulfilled me. I was it was strange. I was always looking for excitement, looking for more, and I would just try to do things to get a thrill. And I don't know why, but, you know, one of the things that gave me, I guess, a thrill is doing things I shouldn't be doing. So I ended up, Jack, getting in a lot of trouble in the first 16 years of my life. And, yeah, I mean, I was out of control.
You said, by your own admission, drugs, LSD, expelled from school multiple mm-hmm. times, sex, partying. What did your mom tell you from that age 14 to 30?
Well, by this time, my mom had had a conversion experience. She had come back to faith in Jesus. She met a Catholic priest. You know, what I really think happened with my mom is as I was spinning out of control, I think that drove her to her knees. I mean, I had a series of events in my life that that just made my parents, I think, scream out to God, to other people, and they couldn't control me. And I think I'll just give one example. When I was 13 years old, I thought it would be a good idea to learn how to drive. I was looking for excitement in my life, and I thought, my dad just got this brand new Thunderbird, super coupe, supercharged car, fast. I knew it was fast because he showed me once, he gave it some speed, and I said, wow, that's fast. I need to know how to drive this. I was in middle school. And so one night, I snagged my dad's keys. I opened up the garage, midnight, 1 a.m. I pushed the car out of the garage because I didn't want them to wake up. I pushed it down the driveway and I started the car as far away as I could get the car. And I drove around up Woodward Avenue. I took a side street, turned around in a parking lot. I gunned it a few times. I was given some excitement and I had enough. I said, this is great. I knew this was going to make me happy. I need to go home, though, because I was nervous. I was like, I'm going to get caught. So I pulled into another parking lot, and I turned around, and right across the street, looking right at me with his headlights, was a police officer. And he saw me. I was probably just, the tip of my head was sticking over the steering wheel. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I kind of gave him the wave signal. Like, I was saying, you can go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, I'll follow you. And he shook his head at me and he said, no, you go. And then my heart was boom, 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 boom. And so I did. I pulled out and I was driving exactly the speed limit. Took a left here, took a right here, took a left here. I went into a neighborhood. I didn't really think about the fact. Looking back, I realized I was going into big circles, and he was just following me the whole way. I turned into a neighborhood and I drove about, several blocks, and I looked up in my rearview mirror, and he was gone. I couldn't see him, and I thought, I need to get out of here, so I gunned it in the neighborhood. I was doing, 40, 50 miles an hour, and 25, and I came to a stop sign, and I just stopped, and I thought to myself, I got away, and the next thing I know, the police lights were going behind me, and the only thing that I knew to do was to run, to get out of there. And so I floored it. I gunned it. And we were in high-speed pursuit for I don't know how long. I was going down Squirrel Road, then another road, Square Lake, and I was going over 100 miles an hour. The car was screaming, running through red lights, and I didn't know what I was doing. And we came to a turn, and I slammed on the brakes, and the anti-lock brakes kicked in, and I turned, and I wasn't going to make the turn. I turned sideways, and I hit a guardrail, and it made impact in the back seat, and it cut the car almost in half, and I just sat there, and I know that my guardian angel help me, because I wasn't injured at all. But at that time, the only thing I could think of is, I got to get out of here. So I'm trying to start the car back up. It's actually turning over. The electrical systems in the car still worked. And then about 2 minutes later, a flashlight came to my car, and it was a police officer. He was looking in, and he looked shocked to see me alive. And I rolled down the window, and I looked him in the face, and as he was staring at me in stunned disbelief, and I said to him, what seems to be the problem, officer? And he didn't think that was funny. And I wasn't trying to be funny. I was in a state of shock. He pulled me out of the car. He handcuffed me. I went to juvie. He called my parents and he said, we have your son. And they said, that's impossible. Our son is sleeping. And he said, no, he's not. And it was, I went from bad like that, juvenile, house arrest after that, to worse. And that was just like one example. I was drinking, I was partying, I was sneaking out, and I didn't stop sneaking my parents' car out after this. They didn't know what to do with me. They wanted to send me away. They had no idea. And it was that, I believe, that drove my mother, I think, to her knees searching for the Lord.
When we come back, we're going to ask him about August of 2006 when he hits bottom at age 30. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything's Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Steve Dawson. Steve, it's August of 2006. You're 30. One night in your parents' backyard, you get on your knees, and you say to God, God, if you're real, prove it to me. What happened?
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what didn't happen. The sky didn't part. God didn't come down in a vision. You know, I did get down on my knees. But the other part of that story is I was drunk. I was broken. I was dead inside. I had really run out of options. As you said earlier in the broadcast, I was on drugs, alcohol, partying, girls, LSD, cocaine, you name it. I did it all. And nothing fulfilled. You know, I'm not going to lie. Early on in all this partying, I was having fun. I thought it was a good time. You know, I'd get in trouble here, I'd get in trouble there, but the fun and the excitement I think I was having early on outweighed the cost, the things that it cost me. But by this time in my life, by the age of 30, I had hit rock bottom. I was no longer having fun when I was partying. I was drinking or doing drugs just to be normal. And even that sense of normal wasn't normal at all. It was really misery. So my mom, having come back to the faith, and by this time my dad coming to faith in Jesus and joining the Catholic Church, had been praying for me. And my mother, she would tell me, she would say, you know, Steve, you're never going to be happy if you don't give your life to God. You're never going to break this cycle. God can help you. And I didn't know if I believed that. I didn't know if that was true. But at this point, I was willing to give anything a try, either that or end it all. You know, I was saying to myself, you know, if this is all there is to life, you know, I don't want to live. So that night, I went outside. I had a beer in my hand. I went out. The grass was kind of wet, and I got down on my knees. I looked at the sky, and I said, all right, God, I challenge you. If you're real, prove it to me. Show me, and I will follow you. And like I said, I didn't get a vision. The Holy Spirit didn't come down upon me like a dove, visibly at that time, but I did receive something tangible, something that I knew was real. And what it was a supernatural desire to search for God, to search for truth. I needed from that moment on to find God. I went on a quest, and looking back, I knew it was a grace. And I didn't have a conversion at that moment, but that was the beginning of it. And within 6 months, I had given my life over to the Lord Jesus, and I was on a path of healing. And but it wasn't overnight; it was a process. But it was miraculous, and God has saved me. I should be dead today.
In 2012. You found St. Paul Street Evangelization. Tell us about Saul of Tarsus, St. Paul.
Oh. A priest of my mom's a priest friend of my mom would always tell her, she'd go to him before my conversion, she'd go to him and sit crying. And he'd look at her and say, Celia, and he had a deep voice, he'd say, Celia, Saul was worse. Paul was worse. St. Paul, the man we know as St. Paul, was murderous. And he was involved in the murder of Christians, St. Stephen being one. And he had given his life to imprisoning and stamping out the Christian way, the movement. And God came into his life in a powerful way, and some say knocked him off of his horse and blinded him and woke him up. And said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he got a revelation that whoever was talking to him was the Lord. And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. And from that day, Paul received a supernatural grace from God. And all that ambition, all that that zealousness that he used before his conversion to do evil was then transferred over into great zeal for doing good. And we know St. Paul today as being the greatest missionary in the history of the world, doing more than anyone else to transform culture and restore people in God. So Paul is a great hero of mine, and I don't know. I mean, I can. There are saints, and I have a bad story. And what was really hard for me is the guilt and the shame of the life of my past life. And all throughout the Bible, we have figures like David, King David, a great man after God's heart. But David was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He stole another man's wife, and he had the man killed. And God forgave him, and still lifted him up as an example for us. And there are countless other examples throughout the history of the Bible and of the church, St. Paul being one, St. Augustine being another who was a worldly man, had illegitimate children and had great conversion. So I think God raises up people like Paul and David and Augustine and many, many, many others. I mean, there was a satanic priest who converted, who's now a saint in the Catholic Church. He had a great conversion. So God lifts these people up to give us hope as examples for us so that we don't despair, that God really does love us and can forgive us and use us for so much good in the world.
That's all true, and you're a shining example today of that very thing. We're talking to Steve Dawson, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Steve Dawson, the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. Steve, how do you approach a stranger today?
Well, the first thing we have to remember is to love each individual person that we encounter. I think what you're getting at with your question is, how do I approach a random person out on the street to bring them God's love through? How do I allow God to use me to bring just random people to God's love? I think to answer that question, I need to take a step back. When I Shortly after my conversion, powerful recognition of God's existence, God's love for me, God's mercy, and His, you know, His loving forgiveness and His desire to have a relationship with me, I began to realize that I've been given a great gift. This gift of faith, this gift of faith in Jesus Christ, this gift of faith in God, and actually so much more, this gift of healing. God has healed me from so much. And I recognize that God wants what He's given me for all men. And that's why He commissioned His disciples to go, therefore, and preach the gospel to all nations. And because ultimately, the gift of salvation is a gift of healing, the gift of the love of the Father, the gift of relationship, the gift of family. And God wants us all to be in His family. And so I recognize I've been given this great gift, and it was other people, through their example and their prayers and their witness to me, that made me recognize that I could have this forgiveness, this relationship with the Father through His Son, Jesus. And that there are so many people in this world who are lost, who are broken, who are hurting. And I recognize that I had a responsibility to share that with others. But I have no idea how to go about sharing Jesus with people. I mean, when I think of like sharing people with Jesus in random public places or in the super, you know, I think of soapbox evangelist yelling out of a bullhorn, preaching at people that they've never met before out of the Bible. And that honestly, that turns me off. You know, if I think of like, okay, going into a grocery store, what do you say to somebody? Do you just walk up to a random person in the cereal aisle? He might be looking at Captain Crunch and say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Like, I could never do that. That's strange. If somebody did that to me, I'd probably be like, no, I'm sorry. Have a great day and walk away, you know? But I still knew that God wanted me to share Him with others. And specifically, I saw in the gospel, in the New Testament, that the apostles didn't just share the faith with people they had relationships with, family, friends, relatives, coworkers. I mean, I was doing that to the best of my ability at this point, but I also saw that they were sharing people in the public squares, in the Areopagus. Paul would go out and share with random people throughout the scriptures. I mean, Jesus was a public evangelist, quote-unquote street evangelist, right? So was John the Baptist, so was Paul the Apostle, and all the great missionary saints of the church really went out in the public places. But I just, I felt God calling me to do something like that, and I didn't know where to begin. And it wasn't until I heard the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe. Now, St. Maximilian Kolbe is a great hero of mine. My first child, my son, who's 5 years old now, his name is Maximilian. And he was named after St. Maximilian Kolbe. St. Maximilian gave his life for a prisoner in Auschwitz. There was a man who was sentenced to die. And St. Maximilian stood forward, and because the man had a wife and family and children. And Maximilian said, I will die for this man. And the guard said, who are you? And he said, I am a Catholic priest, and I want to give my life in place of this man. So he laid down his life for this man, and he was a great evangelist in Poland and Europe. And he had a practice before he was arrested and thrown into the concentration camp in Auschwitz. He had a practice of giving away something called the Miraculous Medal. Now, he would give this religious medal to random people that he would encounter out on the streets, and he would tell the story of the Miraculous Medal. You know, he might run into someone and said, I have a gift for you. And the story of the Miraculous Medal is in 1830, Jesus sent his mom, Mary, to a nun in France, an apparition, we call it like a vision, you know. And she told the nun that whoever wore this medal would receive great graces from God. And so many miracles had occurred through people wearing the medal, receiving the medal, conversions that stopped the plague, many, many miracles. I've seen miracles through the miraculous medal. And so many miracles occurred that it was known as the miraculous medal. And so this, I thought I could do that. You know, this isn't so awkward. You know, you walk up to someone, you start talking about Jesus, it's awkward. But I felt like if I could give somebody a gift and it could start conversation, and it often led to amazing conversations of faith. A lot of times, you know, nothing would happen. Most of the time, people will accept a miraculous medal and thank you. But you know, we don't force it on people. But it is a great way to open up the door for conversations of faith.
From 2012 to now, 6 years later, you now have 300 chapters throughout the world, thousands and thousands of other evangelists. You're giving, last year you gave 1.5 million medals away. Some would say, Steve Dawson, you're a maniac. Some would say you're even a wacko. But how have you ever convinced thousands of people to also do this?
Well, I know the answer is by God's grace. You know, I never really, Jack, I never planned on starting a Catholic apostolate with thousands of missionaries throughout the country and even around the world with hundreds of chapters. All I knew 6 years ago was that God was calling me to do something. And I took that first step. I said, God, I think you want me to do this. I think you want me to pass out miraculous medals. I think you want me to talk to people. I think you want me to try to help people. And so I'm going to try. And so I just started doing it myself. And really amazingly, what happened was, I was living in Portland, Oregon at the time. Now, Portland is not Christian friendly. I would say the opposite of Christian friendly in general. But I still felt called to do it. So, you know, one of the sayings in Portland is keep Portland weird. I was in Portland, Oregon. And so I went out somewhere. I set up a little table. I had pamphlets and miraculous medals and rosaries and, you know, a little sign inviting people to ask questions. And we just stand out there talking to people. And so sometimes people would come up to us and they say, "What are you doing?" And we say, "Well, you know, we're just doing our part to keep Portland weird. You know, there's nothing weirder than Catholics doing street evangelization, right?" And it would always get a big laugh, and people would say, "Yeah, that is pretty weird, man," as they walked away. But the thing that really amazed me and my friends as we did this is people were convicted. They were converted. So much healing took place out on the streets. We prayed with people. People, you know, had lost their jobs and didn't know where to turn, had, you know, just the family's broken up, or people been away from God for a long time and were thinking about coming back but didn't know which way to go. I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the first couple weeks that somebody would come up and we just start this conversation, they start crying and so much healing would occur in their life. And I thought to myself, wow, like, this is amazing. Why aren't other Catholics doing this? And because I, at that time, I didn't know of any other Catholic Christians doing street evangelization. I had heard that non-Catholic Christians would do it, or the Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or other religious faiths would go out and they'd share their faith. But I hadn't known of any Catholics who were doing it. And so I said, where are all the Catholics? This is so amazing. And so I thought, if I could just share with others what we were doing, we could inspire others to do the same thing, and we could be instruments of God's grace in the public. And so as I would share with people what we were doing, people would contact me and they would say, "How do we do what you're doing? where do we get supplies? Where do I get miraculous medals? Where do I get rosaries? Where do I get pamphlets? What do I say to people? You know, we need some sort of training, you know? And so we started organizing, and we came together under one kind of umbrella. And it was just one foot in front of the next. And before you knew it, we had, you know, 10 chapters of us throughout the country all doing the same thing, in 20 and 50 and 100. And here we are, 300 chapters.
If you want to learn more, www.streetevangelization.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with Steve Dawson. If you want to learn more, www.streetevangelization.com. Steve, if there's a listener tonight who says, I'm an addict, whether it's booze, drugs, sex, pornography, and Steve, I'm powerless. What do you say to them?
Well, the first thing that I would say is do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. There is hope. And the example you gave, the person said, I am powerless. And that's really the first step to recovery, is to realizing that you are powerless over the addiction, the drugs. You know, when I was coming out of my own addiction, I had attended AA meetings, and that was the beginning, right in step one, powerlessness. And it's in that recognition, coming to that conclusion, which can lay a foundation for a way forward. And from there, also 12 steps, like Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, etc., the next step is to recognize that there is a power greater than ourselves that can help us into recovery. So the person who's hit rock bottom, powerless, I really recommend getting into a community of people that have gone through the recovery process. The Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and so many other groups are amazing. I also would challenge any person, especially a person who doesn't believe in God, might not believe in a higher power, might not see a way forward, to challenge God. You know, God loves challenges. And to pray that prayer, to say, Lord, I don't know if you exist, but if you do, I want to change, but I can't do it myself. I need your help. And pray that prayer often. And if you're sincere in your heart, I can guarantee 100% that God will show you. He will reveal himself to you in a way that you can understand. Because infallibly, I'll say infallibly, because here's the thing. God wants us to have a relationship with us infinitely more than we want to have a relationship with him. So if we turn to him with a sincere heart, even if we don't know if he exists, and say, show yourself to me, reveal yourself to me if you exist, help me to know you, if you are real, he's going to do it. He loves those invitations. The scriptures say, knock and the door will be opened unto you, you know? And so I just say, turn to God and challenge him to help you.
You've said, and I quote, the sins of my life were like chains around me. I was living a life of bondage. What would your message be tonight to parents who have such a son or daughter.
Yeah. So the very first thing is to pray for them. Pray for your children. The prayer of a parent is the most powerful prayer that there is. The prayer of a parent. That's first. Second of all, love them. I mean, that doesn't mean enable them. So if you have a child who's got an addiction, you don't want to give them money when they don't know how to handle money. You know, sometimes tough love is the best form of love, especially in certain types of situations. However, love them. You know, love them in the best way that you can. There's groups for parents of and family of alcoholics and addicts that can help you learn how to do that in a healthy way. The third thing, if you're a believer, and if you're not a believer, I'd say to you the same prayer: Lord, if you exist, show me. But if you are a believer, I would say have those conversations of faith with your children. Tell them that God can help them. Encourage them to turn to faith, and to make a commitment to abandon the reckless way of life. I think we need to speak occasionally, at least, language that's tough with our children. Say, hey, you know, once in a while, we might need to be straight with them. Hey, you're destroying your life. If you want to get out of this, there is a way, but it's going to take work and God's grace. And the last thing, and I love this bit of advice. Somebody told me once, a good friend of mine, Steve Ray, said, the best bit of advice that he gives parents besides praying for them is to pray that God sends somebody else into that person's life who can help them. So a parent would pray that, Lord, send somebody to help my son. Because as we all know, familiarity breeds contempt, kind of. It's hardest to talk to family about faith. I know for me, it's hard to talk to some of my relatives about faith, but I can talk to random people out on the street and have really, really good conversations. So pray that God sends other people into this person's life that they can gain a respect for and who will help them. So those would be my bits of advice.
As our time winds down this evening, can you lead us in a closing prayer, Steve Dawson?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I told the story of the miraculous medal, and I've seen so many miracles. The Holy Spirit is powerful, and I just want to pray for healing, healing of broken hearts, healing of addiction, and even physical healing. I think maybe there's somebody out there who has a physical pain in their body or maybe even cancer that might get healed. So I'm just going to say a quick prayer for all those things. So, Lord, I just pray that you send your Holy Spirit upon each individual. Show yourself to them. Lord, heal broken hearts today. Heal people of addiction. And Lord, we just pray that anybody out there who has sickness or illness, who has pain in their body, that they might be healed right now, Lord, of that. And we just pray this all through the holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And I'll say this, if you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit and you are sick, test yourself. If you had a pain in your arm, feel it. And if you got healing, send us an email at streetevangelization.com.
Steve Dawson, what a shining example of letting go and letting God. And also, that God's ways are not our ways. Keep up the great, great work.
Thanks, Jack. God bless you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.